Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the BHIPB podcast. This is your host, Dante Fortson. Today, we're going to be talking to Tao Ministries. We're going to be talking about some Hebrew history today. We're going to be talking about some of their history in Europe and how they ended back in Africa. But before we get to that, make sure you go to the BHIPB website at blackhistoryinthebible.com. Make sure you subscribe for future updates of the podcast, different studies coming out. You'll get a free book as well, so make sure you click your confirmation link once you sign up. A couple more announcements real quick before we jump into the show. There is a evidence section over the last week or so. I've been adding to it. Wednesday just had a major update to the evidence section. It's been getting shares like crazy, so make sure you check that out. There's another update coming Wednesday with even more evidence, so make sure you don't miss that. And then also the audio-video section over the last maybe 2 weeks, I've been adding little by little to that, but there is an update today. 6 new video teachings have been added. A couple of them are from Tao Ministries, and a couple of them are from Pastor Omar at School of the Hebrews. So if you haven't heard those teachings, go to the audio video section and check those out. And the final announcement before we get into today's show is the outreach team. I've been kind of hinting at it, asked a few questions about it, took a poll on it to see who was interested. So some of the stuff of the outreach team will begin rolling out this coming week, little by little, so make sure you're on the lookout for that. And if you have not already become a patron, make sure you sign up on Patreon. Great giveaway for those who sign up at the All Access level. So make sure you check that out. That giveaway expires on Monday. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring Tao Ministries on the line so we can go ahead and jump into today's show. Tao, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Dante. How's it going?
It's going great. How you doing today?
Doing pretty good.
All right. So let's go ahead and jump into this. We're going to be talking about the history of the Hebrews in Europe. So let's start with, how did the Hebrews end up in Europe in the first place?
Okay, so when you do the research, you'll find out that a lot of our people were in commerce. So, a lot of the history that you hear about the fake Jews, how they were in commerce and selling things, jewelry, and all these type of things, our people did that. Our people were in Portugal, they were in London, they were in Netherlands. They were selling things, right? And just think about it, too, right? If you look at the Bible, you see that our people traveled all over the place, and they would have to come back, to Israel for the Passover and things like that, right? So our people always were all over the world. They were dealing in commerce.
All right, so now in the commerce that they were doing, did they run into cultures? Well, let me back this up. In Revelation, it talks about the synagogue of Satan. Of course, we know some of the history of our people has been now appropriated by them. Is this how they came into the knowledge of who the Hebrews were through this commerce, or was it through invasion?
So, yes, initially what happened was a lot of those people, they converted, right? They converted to our religion, which is how they ended up knowing our traditions and our culture, and they learned so much about who we are, right? And so, over time, even if you read in the Bible, you will see that even during the time of, excuse me, during the time of Esther, there were people who converted to what we call Judaism. They didn't want to die, because what happened was when Esther and Mordecai and everyone started taking over, a lot of people started converting because they didn't want to die. And you get a bigger picture of that from the Apocrypha than you do from the 66 books that we talk about. And so just to give you an example, for instance, when they were in Poland, right? And I'm going to read this. This is from Black Jews in Poland, and it says, as regards the Negro origin of the Jew, Count Adam Gorowski of Poland says, numbers of Jews have the greatest resemblance to the American mulattoes, sallow carnation complexion, thick lips, crisp black hair. Of all the Jewish population scattered over the globe, 1/4 dwells in Poland. So you see right here, this is a white guy in Poland, his name was Count Adam Grodzki, mentioned that there were a lot of mulattoes, just like today, like in America, right? We're mixed, right? Because we've been living amongst these people. And you can go and find all of these, and you can get the references, because you can come to either my site or Dante's site to find a lot of these things we're going to be talking about.
All right, now that's interesting. I didn't know that they believed that many Jews or Hebrews lived in Poland. So now I understand what you were saying about them not wanting to die, so they converted to Judaism in Esther's day. So kind of coming further into history, why did it change from them just wanting to adopt the religion of the Jews to them wanting to take over the entire culture of the Hebrews?
So from my research, what I see, and there's a lot of debate on this, but that Esau, who's, was our brother, right, he intermingled with Japheth, right? And so Esau always wanted to retain his birthright. He wanted to get it back. So if you look at the history of, and you're going to get a lot of this in the Apocrypha and in the Pseudepigraphia, you will find out that people like Zepho went into Rome. He ended up being like a general in the Roman army. And then the people loved him so much because he was such a great conqueror that Zepho ended up ruling Rome. Now, in those, they call it Kittim. So if you read that, you would talk about how he invaded Kittim. And then it talks about how it was in the islands of Italia. We know that's Italy, right? So that's what happened.
Now, that's interesting. So Zepho, he ended up ruling in Italy. Do you believe that may be the source of – I know a lot of people say that Italians may be part black, or they consider Italians – somewhat black. Is that where that come from the Zepho reign?
Well, here's the thing. In my opinion, from the research, right, everyone was black, okay? Everyone came from a black man. Just think about it. Everyone was of the same family. Now, you can't get black from white, but you can get white from black. Okay, so everyone was of color at some point. Now, somewhere down in history, people started to change. Now, some people believe the change occurred, at the Tower of Babel when God confused their languages. Not only did he confuse their languages, he changed the way they look, right? And they became a unique people, and so they scattered. I adhere more to that. Now, the other thing is that the scriptures talk about people, who had what we call leprosy, who became white, right? And so some people, were cursed to remain white, right? Now, I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just talking from a biblical historical perspective, okay, that white was a curse. Okay, now, think about this for a second, okay? Black folks could go out there and work in the fields all day long, stand out in the sun, and they don't get cancer, right? A white person cannot stand out there. Their skin will start to peel, which goes to show you they were not slaves in Egypt because they couldn't survive. Okay, so, just from a logical, historical viewpoint, we know that they could not survive in that heat. So,
yeah, and to add into what you're saying to that, if anybody wants to Google it and do the research, if you look at the people in Israel now, they have the second highest rate of melanoma in the world, and that's a deadly skin cancer. And I'm with you on that. If they belonged in that place in the first place, they wouldn't have had white skin to begin with. Now, let's talk a little bit about you mentioned leprosy, and I do want to put this in context for the people first time hearing this discussion. Can you talk about the difference between leprosy, vitiligo, and albinism, the way it's used in the Bible, because it's all classified under leprosy, but it's all different?
Yeah, so like a lot of times the Bible will talk about leprous, right? And then it will say talk about leprosy. And so a lot of times if you look at the Bible, they will send the people out of the camp for like a few days or weeks or whatever it was to see what happens while they're out. And then so like if it doesn't get worse, if they like let's say the skin just stays, white or whatever and there's no other issues, then they let them back into the camp. So, that's how they handled it as a disease. Now, vitiligo, like what they say Michael Jackson had, that is what they call leprous. right? And so that's where their skin colors would change. You know, you see that today, and it's not albinism. This is where your skin starts to change. Where you see some people like half black, half white, right? That's what they call vitiligo, right? And all of that disease is all interrelated, right? Now, according to the Bible, it was a curse, right? A lot of times it was a curse. And so like you saw with Moses as a miracle to Pharaoh, Moses stuck his hand into his coat, pulled it back out. It was white as snow, put it back in. It went back to its normal color. What could that normal color be? A person of color, right? Logically speaking, so.
All right, perfect. Yeah, I just wanted to get that out there for people listening for the first time. Now, let's start talking about how did the Hebrews ended up coming mostly out of Europe and really starting to migrate into Africa? What led to that?
Well, before we get there, I just want to say that what happened was, you know, we were in Africa first, right? When Rome sacked Jerusalem, we had to run away, right? We couldn't go north. We couldn't go east. We had to go west, right? And every time in the Bible, you would see that our people would leave and go west into Africa. And so when you look at history, right, you know, you're going to do what your ancestors did. And plus, that was the only path of escape was in west into Africa. So our people, if you look at history, you got people like Eldad the Danite, right? He was from the tribe of Dan, and the tribe of Dan is like in that area where we call the Colossian Jews where they're at, right? That's where the tribe of Dan was known to be in Africa. So from there, you know, our people have been there for a long time, even since the Assyrian captivity. You know, some of us went to Africa, the northern tribes. And so what happened was our people built up a life in Africa. Now, we spread out and went in to Europe, okay? And so just to let you know, well, I'll get back to that later on the leprous thing. I was going to say something about that. But anyway, so there's a book, and in it, and like I said, I'll give you the references later. This one, for some of them, I'll give them later because I know we have a short time. But this one is from the Atlas Geographus, or A Complete System of Geography, Africa, Volume 1. It says, Leo says, the ancient Africans had stately temples where they worshiped the sun and fire and always kept the latter burning. Those of Libya and Numidia sacrificed to a certain planet, but those of Negroland, which is where our people were taken from, worshiped the Lord of Heaven. Okay? And so Numidia was an ancient Berber kingdom of the Numidians located in what is now Algeria and a smaller part of the Tunisia and Libya in the Berber world, which is in North Africa. So our people, even according to this, and you can look up those references, were in Africa. Now, they ended up in Europe because of trade. And you can get that, you know, when you start doing the research, you'll find out that our people did a lot of trading. And so, you know, a lot of times we hear about the Ashkenazi Jews and we hear about the Sephardic Jews. And the Ashkenazi Jews are German converts. And Dante, you've done a great study on that, about how they are Japhet and that they are Gentiles, right? That they are descendant of Ashkenaz, who's a descendant of Japhet. And so the Sephardic Jews were black Africans. And I'm going to prove this, right? So this is a book. It's called Portuguese in West Africa. It's from 1415 to 1670. It said, the Portuguese in West Africa brings together a collection of documents, the majority in New English translation, that illustrate aspects of the encounters between the Portuguese and the people of North and West Africa. This period witnessed the diaspora of the Sephardic Jews, the immigration of Portuguese to West Africa and the islands, and the beginnings of the black diaspora associated with the slave trade. The documents show how the Portuguese tried to understand the societies with which they came into contact and to reconcile that experience with the myths and legends inherited from classical to medieval learning. So we see here that they went to Africa, the Sephardic Jews, right, and that they were black Africans, right? And so there's a history there, and you know, stop me when you want, Dante, but there's a history there of our interactions in Portugal, right? And so here's what happened in Portugal, right? And I'm going to read this. This is from America Being an Accurate Description of the New World by John Ogilvy. This is page 574. It says, the Portuguese that dwelt on the island in the Netherlands that lived about 50 years there, yet notwithstanding the great gain tempted them to tarry, several of them, having 200 or 300 Negroes that worked in the sugar mills, that John and the third king of Portugal sent a colony thither above 200 years before, whom through the wholesome air destroyed, yet the place was not left desolate. For they sent new inhabitants who settled in Guinea, right? Guinea is in Africa, next to Angola. We know that's in Africa. And lastly, on the island of St. Thomas, that is São Tomé, which is an island right out of Africa, that so they might be the better of us to the air. So what they're saying is that they could breathe the air better. That the said king sold all those Jews for slaves that refused to embrace the Roman religion. So during this time, Rome was in control of Europe. Israel was living in Portugal and living in other parts of Europe. But because Israel did not want to convert to Roman Catholicism, they started sending us back to Africa. And what happened is, and we'll see this if we get to it, what happened was they sent a lot of the mixed people, the mulattoes, to São Tomé. So the mulattoes were mixed with the Portuguese and with the Africans, right? They were still Hebrews, and they were sent to São Tomé.
All right, now I'm glad you brought that up, because some of the research that we've been pulling up for a while is all starting to point towards the fact that they knew that we were in West Africa before the slave trade started. So do you believe that they were aware of this information, or did they just go to the coast and indiscriminately start grabbing who they thought were Africans for the slave trade?
Dante, this conspiracy was so huge, man. These guys knew who we were. They knew we were God's people, and they targeted us, dude. So the question is this: who are these people, right? These people got to be the synagogue of Satan, right? They are at war with the Most High Yah, okay? I'm going to read this for you, okay? This is from Letters Descriptions of Travel Through West and South Barbary and Across the Mountains of Atlas by James Gray Jackson, page 187. Yahudi, okay, that refers, that's what they used to call us, Yahudi, Yahuda, and from what I've seen is that Yahudi is sort of what the Arabs and the Muslims used to call us, right? And it's short for, you know, it's, I guess it's a play on the word for Judah, what they call us, Judah. So Yahudi, a place of great trade, this place is reported to be inhabited by one of the lost tribes of Israel, possibly an immigration from the tribe of Judah, Yehuda. In African Arabic, signifies Judah. Yahudi signifies Jew. It is not impossible that many of the lost tribes of Israel may be found dispersed in the interior regions of Africa. When we shall become better acquainted with that continent, it is certain that some of the nations that possess the country eastward of Palestine, when the Israelites were a favorite nation, have immigrated to Africa. So they knew where we were. They knew who they were taking.
And I agree. I believe they fully knew. And the more I'm starting to put this stuff together, and the more research you guys are putting out, the more it's starting to make sense, because in Revelation we get that warning. And I believe that the words specifically chosen in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 are for a purpose, because he mentions that he knows our poverty. And this is a huge difference from the Ashkenazi, who are rich, and it says the borrower shall be servant to the lender. So as we start to look into this, we see that the Ashkenazi financed the slave trade in the 1600s to get the Hebrews away from Africa over to America. And so since then, America has supported the Ashkenazi. We know that in the World War, that the Ashkenazi lent money to help England win the war in exchange for the land of Israel. So we keep finding the Ashkenazi is behind everything that's happening to our people, the appropriation of the culture, the appropriation of the land. And I'm with you. I do believe that they are the synagogue of Satan. So if they are the synagogue of Satan,
what are the worldwide implications of what's going on right now, spiritually and, I guess, physically for the world?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is the big secret, right, which is who we are, right? This is what Freemasonry is hiding. Most of us thought that Freemasonry, the big secret of Freemasonry was the fact that, you know, they knew some secret Egyptian occult knowledge, which they do, right? But the big secret of Freemasonry is who we are, the people that they've enslaved around the world, right? And so they continue this from generation to generation, okay? And so the question is, the white American church member, what is your position in this, right? Because a lot of, you know, the Bible says that the devil deceived the whole world, right? Not only did he deceive us, who are the people who have been hidden, right, which is all according to prophecy, right, but he's deceived those into persecuting us who call themselves Christian. Now, you have KKK members who call themselves Christian. Now, they worship a different God because the God of the Bible, and I know you all going to say, well, it doesn't matter if God is black, if Jesus was black or not, but the God of the Bible was a black man. The tribe of Judah was a group of black people, which was a family, right? It has to do with family, right? So, like, if you say the Smith family is black, is that racist because the Smith family happened to be black? If I say Judah, or let's say Israel, which incorporates all 12 tribes, were black, am I being racist because I'm saying that they're all black people? No, I am not. It is the truth. Okay, so what they're doing is they've manipulated the world so that they can do these things to us because they could not get the buy-in from those who call themselves Christian because Christianity spread across the whole world, right? So in order for them to persecute us, we had to be hidden and we had to be redefined, right? So now we're just Africans. We're those monkeys in the jungles who needed us to bring them into civilization.
Now that's an interesting point because I've started looking into this, and I haven't shared this research yet, but I started looking into the name change and how we went from, you mentioned Yehudi, and then how they mentioned that we were sent to Sao Tome and we were called Negroes. They associated the Hebrews and the Negroes together, and we had Negro land. And when we first came over here, if you look in some of the old newspapers where it talks about slaves for sale, it refers to us as Negroes. And then over time, we went from being called Negroes to Black or African American, and as you mentioned, other racial terms like monkeys and stuff like that. But over time, as we've gotten closer to the internet age, it seems that they've tried to disassociate us from the word Negro more and more because eventually it links back to the truth. And this is kind of off topic, but since you brought up Christianity and them worshiping a different God, I've been leaning towards this, but I want to hear your opinion on it. Do you believe that Christianity is the final world religion that everybody's been so up in arms about coming in the last days?
You know, when you look closely at it, because the Bible says there was going to be a deception that, if possible, could deceive the very elect. Now, you know, some people say, well, that's because of the miracles of the Antichrist and false prophet or whatever. But, you know, for something to be so close to the truth, it, you know, I always used to ask myself, it has to be something close to what we believe, right, in order to, if possible, deceive the very elect. And so I do believe that Christianity, and I want to, you know, put a caveat out there. I'm talking about European Christianity, right? Their interpretation, their doctrines of the scriptures is the danger, right? Because even though, and I'm gonna say this, they have the understanding of the gospel, right? Salvation is by grace through faith, right? That is true. But then when you whitewash it, right, now you're deceiving everybody into the truth of what happened in the scripture and who the people are, right? Because there's a targeted campaign against the people. So hit and think of this, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but, you know, when the Lord Jesus is judging the nations, and they're going to say, Lord, didn't we do all these wonderful things in your name, and in your name's cast out devils, and in your name do many wonderful works. Now, these are people doing what we would call Christian works, right? And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Why? He says, because of what you've done to my brethren. What you've done to my brethren, which is my people. What did you all do who you think you're a Christian, you're doing these works to please the Most High? What did you do to his people? But that's what the scripture said.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because the more I start to dig into modern day Christianity, it's very, very, very close to the truth, but it keeps everybody just one layer above truth. And real quick about the elect, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been trying to look at that verse, because much of what we've been taught comes from European interpretation of the scriptures. And over my entire life, I was taught that the elect were Christians, Christian believers. But now when I go back to Matthew 22 and I look at the parable of the wedding feast, and he called specific people, and well, he chose specific people, and then when they didn't come, he called everybody else. And he says at the end, many are called, but few are chosen. And I looked up that word elect, and it refers to a specifically chosen people. Now, the Hebrews were chosen, but everybody else was called, because the chosen didn't come like they were supposed to. Now, the point where I'm going with this is, it says that the elect or the chosen, if it were possible, they would be deceived. And I personally believe that understanding that the Messiah is a man of color, a black man, is going to be why we're not deceived by the Antichrist or the beast. We're not deceived by him because we are starting to understand that whatever possible European guy that shows up on the scene making the claim to be Christ is not going to be Christ, even though he shows these lying signs and wonders. Do you think it's possible that race itself is going to play a role in recognizing or differentiating between the true Messiah and the false Messiah to come?
You know, Dante, I don't see how it cannot be, because race is such a divisive issue, right, that this is a bad example probably, but let's say somebody, you know, who was the Messiah just happened to appear to be black. There are a lot of people we know, the KKK members, the Christian identity people, they're going to say he's not the Messiah because he's black, right? And now this white guy who has gold hair, blue eyes, and all this stuff, the ones that really look like Quetzalcoatl, right, if you go and look at the history of that, that's the one they're going to follow because he looked like the Jesus that they've been programmed to follow. So, yes, I do believe that is a possibility that they will follow that Antichrist person who's going to be a Gentile.
All right, perfect. We are almost out of time, and I do want to give everybody one verse to think about in context of what we were just talking about. What Christ said in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, he said, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division." And it may be partly because of a lot of things, but I believe him choosing to be a black man may have played a huge role in what he was saying. Just speaking on his race separates those who really don't care about race from those who do, and you can tell by how they react to it. So before we get out of here, let everybody know how to get in touch with you on YouTube and your Ning site.
So you can search for Tale Ministries on YouTube, and there's some links under each one of the videos to our Ning site. In Ning, we have an article section. I put some references in there that we discussed today and some other things that, you know, if you want to go look at it and start doing your own research. And you need to tell your other people also about who we are in the history and what's happening, right? Because we're being targeted in Chicago and around the world, so we need to wake up.
All right, awesome. And everybody, make sure you set reminders every Wednesday and Saturdays for now. We'll keep you updated on those. We'll be doing more interviews to come. Make sure you visit the blackhistoryinthebible.com website for more information. And remember, there's a huge video update today. So if you want to catch some more stuff from Tale Ministries, TEOTW on YouTube, or you can go to blackhistoryinthebible.com and there are links to their YouTube page. Thank you for tuning in today. Until next time, I'm out.